good to be back in church tonight. Feel like we're in church. Having the greatest times of our lives. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord, His presence among us tonight. Got a visitor, Brother Roy Crutchfield. Have you with us tonight, brother. Saw you two-stepping. Enjoying your fellowship. It's good to be serving the Lord tonight, though, isn't it? I appreciate His wonderful benefits. We got a policy tonight. Man called me the other day. Mr. Daniels, I'd like to go over some things with you concerning Allstate. I said, I'm happy with State Farm. Hung up the phone. I ain't want to talk to him no more. I got a good deal. And I've got a good deal with God tonight. I'm not interested in any other policy. I've been offered some other policies. No, man, I can't run with you on that. No. I got some of the greatest benefits in this world, out of this world. I appreciate His love tonight. Couldn't help myself tonight. It just kept going over in my mind. Where would you be without Jesus? In a crack house. Yeah. Probably in the crack house. But one day He came to my rescue and delivered me. Knocked on my door with a policy. I said, can you come back later? And he did. He came back later. Want to offer you another chance. I still didn't accept it. I got to be convinced that what I'm doing, it wasn't profitable. But I thought it was fun. But it was leading me to destruction. It was going to lead me to prison. As a matter of fact, the Lord gave me a dream. You think that didn't get my attention? I saw myself walking across a prison yard telling someone I'm serving 5 to 7. The band played a band number this morning that's just been in my mind because of him. Here I am. I'm glad he arrested me. August 24th, 1975, I surrendered. I'm serving a life sentence, Brother Crutchfield. Brother Smith sang that song today. Who am I that a king would hang out on a cross over Calvary? We were on his mind. We were on his mind. Because of him, it almost lines up with the song, because he lives. I now have life. I have this freedom. I have this privilege to walk with him. I'm glad I found a people. God told me the first service I was in, I brought you to a sincere people. These are not put-ons. I've added to it over the years. These are not fake. Like what you saw in the world. And you've been sincere 39 years. Without Jesus, where would we be? I appreciate God tonight. I appreciate Him in my heart. He's concerned about me when I don't really understand what's going on. He has His eyes on me. He has His eyes on you. You know, God thinks about us. Yes, He does. He's mindful of all of our needs. Jeremiah prophesied that I know the thoughts that I have towards you. 29:11. I know what plans I have for you. Not plans of destruction, but peace. I appreciate the peace of God in my life. I appreciate the joy of salvation that I feel tonight. I'm not discouraged, and I've got trouble all around me. I could tell you some things tonight, you'd have a nervous breakdown with me. But because of him, he's holding my hand tonight. Because of him, he encourages me. I appreciate his love tonight. Yes, I do. Because of him. He's my everything. And if he's not, I'm making him my everything. Oh, yeah, I'm making him. He's everything to me tonight. It's been done. God can be our everything tonight, depending on him. Hey, I just got up to testify and take prayer requests and receive an offering. But there's something filling my heart tonight that I had to just express, that if it wasn't for Jesus, Bill Daniels would be in the crack house, not having the mind that I have tonight. But I'm glad one night that he touched my life and showed me a better way. And my desire tonight is to live for him and walk with him. It's my desire to be like the Lord. I'm found the people that really, you put something in me to see you serve God. I didn't have any confidence in Christian people when I came this way. But you built up my confidence. You encouraged me. And if I ever felt a ministry that encouraged me to live for God, regardless of what sacrifices you have to make, I was encouraged to go with God. He'll see you through. He will provide. And when I read the Bible, I see where Apostle Paul said, "Nothing shall ever separate me from his wonderful love. Nothing shall ever separate me." He said life or death, and named several other things. He said it won't separate me from the love of God. He was in jailhouses, beaten. Yeah, didn't even call his lawyer, just threw him in jail. So I told you, don't be preaching out here. But there's power in prayer tonight. Paul and Silas was thrown in old jail. Yeah. They didn't murmur and complain. They came up with a song and began to sing praises. Shook the jailhouse. Man, we serve an awesome God tonight, don't we? Without Jesus, where would our lives be? You and I right now, we know people personally. And man, I wish I could give you a teaspoon of what I have. I wish I could share with you that he's able to bring you out of suffering and what you're going through. He delivered me. I've tried it, but they look at me, dude. Man, I just don't want that right now. I ain't ready for that. But I'm glad he got me ready one day. I'm glad he showed me a better way. It's my desire to live for him tonight. My desire to walk with God. I appreciate the way of salvation that he's shown me. Let's rejoice in the wonderful things of God tonight. Where would we be tonight had Jesus not knocked on our doors? Aren't you glad he knocked at your door? Oh, yes. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Will anyone have a need or request tonight? Brother Smith had a little time on the books, and he and Sister Smith were taking a little trip to see a new grandbaby. And relax and just enjoy each other. So let's be praying for them tonight. Do we have any other needs tonight before we go on with the service, Sister Debbie? Brother Steve Wallace, okay? Let's remember that family tonight. Remember Brother and Sister Crow tonight. And my oldest sister is making just a little bit of progress. She's going to see a specialist sometime around the 12th or 14th of this month, and he's going to be giving a series of some kind of shots. She just went from falling, just numerous things. Can't get up without a walker. Oh, it's been bad. But I've been praying for that we have a father that cares, sis. I said, God will bring us through this. Keep trusting him. That's all I know to do, is to call on the Lord. But when I have meditation time in my home, I sit down and I got a special chair, Brother Anthony, that I sit in. And I like complete silence. I don't even want the heat unit coming on. But I want to live close to my God. I want to let my friend know that I need you tonight, Lord. I've got a family member that's suffering. Unless you've got something stored up for her, Isn't it good that we can hear and learn about the things of God? Brother Smith gave us again those four things that God could be working on in our lives. I appreciate a ministry that can see down the road by experience with God and from the Word of God. There's a safety in that. I appreciate what I've found today. Man, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, yes. So if God wants to correct me, I want it. I want it because I want to be called his child. Yes, I do. So I appreciate the Lord tonight and the ways that he's leading us. God can give us dreams, directions for our lives. I was telling Brother Weiniger that when I first come among this people, God gave me some tests that I wanted to fight my own battles. One evening after work, before our shift ended, my boss came up to me and said, "Hey, Bill, could I get you and Russell to count some refrigerators for me real quick?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to." I took the clipboard, and me and this other guy started counting the material he wanted us to count, and he was going too fast. He was calling him out too fast. I said, "Russell, hold it, man. Come on, dude. I can't keep up with you like that." And before you know it, we got into a little fuss. And it got bad. Guys were looking on. "Wow, look at Doug, man." But I just held on. I let him curse me out and everything. Oh, man. Ooh, what a test. He walked off, went on to the time clock, and clocked out and went home. I finished counting the freight and turned it in to my boss. And on the way up the hallway to go out the front door, I was just about in tears. And I began to talk to the Lord. Man, I don't know what all I said. You know, he answered me back after I got through crying and complaining. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And what I got out of that, I can order tests for you anytime I want to. That cheered me up. Oh, you in this? Okay. You ordered that? All right then. All right. Yeah. Yeah, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But I appreciate his love and care for me. That's not all he's done for me. That's not all he's done for me. Without Jesus, where would I be? And the band number we sang this morning, we played this morning, because of him. He's healed me. At the end of November in 2000, diagnosed with a tumor on the brain. I cried for several weeks, brothers. I'd go to work and people at work would see me crying. "Bill Daniels, what's wrong, man?" "I have a tumor on the brain, man. That's all." "And God's going to fix you." I thought, I don't know how to put confidence in ungodly people's talks. You know what I'm saying? I just don't know how to embrace that. I don't know how to let them encourage me. But I had people tell me that. A couple of months down the road, MRIs and x-rays. "Mr. Daniels, we don't see a thing on your brain for you to be alarmed about. God heal me." I was dreading having the surgery, having my skull opened up. God heard my prayer. God heard my prayer. Without Jesus, where would I be? I found a sanctuary where I want to live. I appreciate this wonderful place. I appreciate the joys of salvation just flooding my soul. Without Jesus, where would I go? Because he lives, I now live. Oh, yes. The sentence of death was on our lives, wasn't it? But he said, "You can have life, and that more abundantly." Oh, I appreciate God tonight. He's been a friend to me. I've been lonely. I've been crying before. I've had hardships on the edge of a nervous breakdown. But Jesus came to my rescue. I've needed things in the past that Walmart and Walgreens pharmacy didn't have it. But the Lord came to my needs. Came to my needs. Had a heart attack here almost a year ago, Brother Crutchfield. But God had his hand on me. Scripture says the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart is perfect toward him. I want to be committed to the Lord tonight. You know that? And trust in his ways that he will provide. Without Jesus, where would Doug be? Yeah, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. If God hadn't stopped me, it would have been written down at the state as a convicted felon. Oh, yeah, but he kept his hand on me. I'm glad he called me to the door. I'm glad I made a choice. I could have turned God down. I could have turned that wonderful opportunity down. But I found myself surrendering to God August 24th, 1975. He's been wonderful to me. Let's go on with prayer requests tonight. Anyone else? Sister Linda. Wonderful. Wonderful. See what prayer does? Yeah, see what prayer does? These people prayed for me, Brother Crutchfield. Yeah, a young man come to church and say, hey, I met a guy on the job. He got a problem. He threatened to whoop me today. A few months later, I was sitting beside him in church. Can you believe that? I threatened to whoop a guy. And then a few months later, I was sitting beside him in church. Oh, I felt so convicted. You don't know how I felt when I first came here. Oh, but the load that was lifted off my shoulders that day that I surrendered to God, oh, I was light as a feather. Oh, yeah. I appreciate the love of God. I appreciate him calling my name. He didn't have to. I was just going over my life the other night, doing my meditation time. I didn't have anybody. None of my relatives was praying for me and my brothers and sisters. So, Lord, I don't know. I can't trace my lineage like that. But God had mercy on me. I'm glad I'm here. Let's go on with prayer. Anyone else? Sister Donna. Too special unspoken. God will provide. Someone else, Sister Debbie. Oh, all right. Okay. Sister York, and you have your hand up. Pray for Brother Jerry. Yeah. Brother Jerry's had a rough time. And, I can have compassion on him. Oh, by the way, I went to the doctor the other day, and I got a good report out of my heart. Except he got on me because I hadn't been sending him any transmissions. I hadn't been transmitting, put it like that. I've got a little black deal that hooks up to a telephone, and I'm supposed to key it in and just run it across here where my pacemaker is. He said, I still can track you, Bill. I see you've been doing a lot of walking. And he said, but I want you to do some transmitting. He said, other than that, your heart looks good. And keep doing what you're doing. I thought, it's the prayers of God's people. I ain't claiming no credit. No, God's good. Anyone else with a need or request tonight? Yes, Brother Brett. Let's continue to pray for Brett. Yes, and Sister Inez, God's got something for you, sister. Just keep trusting him. Just keep trusting him. He will hear our prayers. I believe that. I can look at people tonight. And I heard your testimonies years ago where you were facing some dark, dark decisions. Your mind was, you didn't know where it was at. But you're here today, you could tell about a healing from God. All right? All right. God can do it. I wasn't intending to come back, but here I am. You all scared me so bad that first service. I said, when I get out of here, Sylvia, we ain't coming back, baby. I'm going somewhere and get me a cold one. Huh? I'm back. I didn't know how to handle the way you treated me with such love, such care and concern. Wow. And Brother and Sister Tucker certainly won Sylvia and I's heart. Put us in a high chair for a while, though. But when I learned to walk, yeah, I'm tired of crackles. And Brother Tucker began to feed me the Word of God. Yeah, Brother Tucker, I'm tired of having little snacks. I got with him by himself and said, what does this mean? It encouraged me to go on with God. That a man of God cared enough to talk to my wife and I, encourage us. He came to visit us in our home. 2 o'clock in the morning, he sat with us and talked with us, put his arms around us, told us he'd be praying for us. I appreciate God tonight in the ways that he's brought me. Saints, hold on, because I'm going to tell you, God's got something, and he's working on something that's going to include you and I. Yes, it is. God has something in store for us. As I used to tell people in the world, he's up to something. He's up to something. His eyes is on you. Let him provide for you. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. Something wonderful. Something beautiful. Got great plans for his church and his people. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Anyone else with a need or request? Brother Michael, your family and your sister. Okay. All right. Just remember that need. Excuse me. Sister Ann McGowan. Okay. All right. Let's remember her in prayer tonight. Anyone else tonight? Okay, Brother Ernest Dotson, let's remember him. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. Sister Abraham, okay. Okay. Right, right, Brother Ron Johnson. And didn't Brother Shelby request prayer today? Maybe had the flu? Okay. All right. Well, don't we all have unspoken needs tonight? Things we sit alone at home and say, Lord, how are you going to work this out? Scripture tells us, be not weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Yeah, our God is not bankrupt tonight. Yeah, he's not broke tonight. Yeah, and the currency in heaven is not money, but it's faith. You want to get something done? Throw out your faith credit card. Hey, run it through. You good, buddy. So if the ushers would come, let's stand and call upon our God tonight that's able to move mountains far beyond what we could imagine. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus, my Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your love and for your mercy tonight. You've kept your hands on us. We're looking to the hills of salvation tonight, David said. I will look to the hills from whence cometh our help tonight, which cometh our strength tonight. Which cometh our hope tonight, that God is a healer tonight. He's not forgotten his children tonight. He's not forgotten his people, that he loves them and cares for them. Meet every need tonight here in the house. Touch all the sick that are among us tonight. Keep your hand on Brother and Sister Smith as they travel tonight. Oh, God. Brother and Sister Crow tonight. We appreciate the wonderful things that God is sharing with us. May God bless this church tonight. Oh, God, we give you praise and thanksgiving tonight. Sister Ann McGowan. Sister Donna tonight has some unspoken requests tonight. Oh, wonderful Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, yes. Create in us, dear Lord, a clean heart and a right spirit that we might walk with thee, dear Lord. Touch our desires tonight. May the healing virtue of God touch each family tonight. Brother Jerry York tonight, needing a touch from God.
We're earnestly contending to touch the hem of his garment tonight. Oh, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. May God bless each one here tonight. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. God, don't you? Don't you just love good songs? Love it when you bring out songs like that last one. I don't remember the last time I heard that song. It's good. And song this morning. We're so blessed, we're so privileged to have what we have and know that we're apart. You know, every day it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I thought I loved him whenever I was a young kid. And I did. Found out I love him more today than I did. You know, it's something that grows. It's a journey. It's an experience that doesn't end. There doesn't have to be an end to it. Brother Durham and I asked Brother Durham during one of the courses tonight. I said, "This course, where would I be without Jesus?" And I said, I asked him, I said, "Can you imagine spending eternity without the Lord?" Well, you know, we know it wouldn't be possible because he is the resurrection and the life. But there's people in this world that they don't believe in the Lord, but they still believe that they're going to live eternal. You know, some people, they have different views on living after this life, and whether it's reincarnation or some sort of accumulation or whatever, but I can't imagine how, you know, just knowing how difficult life is and the struggles that go with life, I wouldn't want to live a day without the hope of the Lord. Wow, and just think when we get to heaven, when we're living eternally, there won't be any tears, there won't be any sorrow, there won't be any frustration. And even if there was, we'd still be able just to trust the Lord. Our faith, we'll have 100% faith, our trust will be in Him. There won't be any worry or fret, wringing of the hands or gnashing of the teeth. There won't be any of that. It'll be wonderful. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by, and we know that life's full of, you know, sorrow, uncertainty, death. It's all part of it. I've always said, I mentioned this before, say it again, death is harder on the living than it is the dead. I had a friend pass away today that made me sad. Life and sickness and cancer, you know, and heart trouble and this and that, it's all tough. It's all hard to bear. It's all because of the curse of sin. I'm convinced that sickness entered into the world the day Adam sinned. That was the beginning of the downfall of the health and welfare of humanity. And so here we are, we live with it. You know, it's interesting, you know, you consider the time frame of where we're at, all the medical benefits that we have and research, and I haven't fleshed this out, and perhaps I should, but someone told me that a lot of the medical knowledge that we have today about the human anatomy was provided to us, was actually discovered during the reign of the Catholic Church, whenever they were torturing people and stuff like that, and they were actually documenting, you know, what they found. And so, you know, that's a bit hard to swallow, isn't it? All the benefits that we have and the understanding of the human body and things like that, that our medical experts have identified and capitalized on, all that knowledge, you know, somebody suffered for all that. And You know, the world, it's just full of it. There's always somebody doing without. Jesus told his disciples, he said, the poor you'll have always. He didn't go around feeding the hungry all the time. In fact, a few times he sought to get away from them. And there was always somebody sick. Man laid there at the gate called Beautiful. For how long? Sick. There's always a need. You know, we read in our Bible class today that there's some things that are never satisfied. And there's always a lacking or a longing, a desire for more in certain aspects of our life. I think that's natural. There's a natural, you go without food, your body will begin to convince you that you're hungry. I have trouble with my blood sugar sometimes, and my blood sugar just, it'll just drop out like that, you know, and I'm just weak and can't hardly function. I have to remind myself, you're not starving to death. Hello, man. You know, that's what I'm telling myself. Hello, old guy. You're not starving to death. You just ate. This is just your body playing tricks on you. You know, it's, of course, it's processing the sugars that I had consumed. Usually it's pancakes or something like that. Stuff I'm not supposed to, you know, eat too much of. But, and so, you know, it's generating insulin or whatever to compensate for the overdose of sugar that I just had. But I have to remind myself, there's always going to be deficits in our life. There's always going to be health problems. There's always going to be emotional stress. There's always going to be worry and fret. There's always going to be those sides of life. Jesus didn't escape it. I read that scripture in Philippians last week, where it said that he humbled himself in the fashion of man, and he even humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. And so, emphasis there. He didn't say he just died. He emphasized that the death that he died was the death of the cross. And, of course, the suffering that he went through was, you know, incomprehensible. It was such a great, it was such a terrifying moment that the Apostle Peter was in such fright and intimidation that he wouldn't even acknowledge, he wouldn't even acknowledge the Lord. He denied him three times. He tried to escape. That persecution, that pressure, that circumstance, that environment that they were in was so desperate and so violent that Peter was trying to, he couldn't handle that pressure. He wanted to shield himself from it. And of course we know that, you know, we will all do that. We'll all find ourselves in that fight or flight mentality. And that's why there's a requirement. In case you didn't know, the carnal mind that you're born with is the enemy of God. The reason it's God's enemy is because it's not subject to God's will. Why? Because the carnal mind will do its own will. You'll do your own, whatever you want to do. Your fleshly desire will provoke you and move you to do the things that satisfy you. But if you didn't know this, Jesus told his disciples, he said, you must be born again. He let them know and John asked him, he said, you know, am I supposed to enter into my mother's womb again? He said, no. He said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. And so there's a birth that's required of you it's the key. It's the beginning of your relationship with the Lord. Because it will allow you to draw strength and knowledge and courage and power from a source that's not rooted in the weakness of flesh. You'll draw strength and power and courage and excitement from a source that's rooted in heaven. And praise God. And so that's why Jesus emphasized that over in John 14. He put such an emphasis there with the disciples about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. He labeled it, if you will. He called it a comforter. And he said that the comforter will come in John 14:26. He said, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The power, the consoling, comforting, encouraging, faithful strength that you get from the power of God, thank God, is not rooted in the flesh. It's rooted in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. It exceeds the limitations of gravity. It exceeds the weaknesses of a hungry stomach. It exceeds the foolishness of the carnal mind. It exceeds the debilitating factors of poor health. You know, it even exceeds the lack of knowledge. We know that. There's been times in your life where you didn't know what to do. There's been times in your life when you didn't have the answer. And so you sought a word from the Lord. Lord, I need an answer. Brother Daniels, he didn't know how to respond. He was in that situation, according to his testimony, been cussed out, mistreated, abused, brought to tears. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad God changed Brother Daniels. I pity the fool that gets whooped by Dub. Isn't that right? But you know, just because Brother Daniels got changed don't mean that wasn't still in there. I had an experience. I won't tell you about the other ones, but I'll tell you about this one. I was about 14 years old, and I had a reputation. I wasn't afraid to go to blows. And these boys were acting foolish in the high school gym. There's about, you know, this isn't large compared to some, but there was probably a couple hundred students in that gym. It's three grades. There's over 300, I think, 250, 300 in my graduating class, so it wasn't a little school. So there's a lot of boys, a lot of mischief. I just stand around minding my own business. These boys, they come up and they, you know how boys will do, and you know whether they're, you know, twisting someone's ear or sticking their wet finger in their ear or, you know, thumping them on the head or, you know, how it is. Well, they got a hold of me and they said I come out swinging, which is probably true. I was just trying to get away from them. And there was this boy, he had probably flunked about three times, honestly. And his name was Ecky. Well, you know, that's just like naming your boy Sue. You know, this guy, he was a brawler. If you can just imagine the things that he was called by being named Ecky. That was his name, Ecky Ross. And he was all muscle. Like I said, he probably had a full beard. He's probably 16, you know, the ninth grade, probably best 3 years of his life. And boy, he took into me. He said I come out swinging, and he did too. Well, we were in a gymnasium, and I don't know how long the basketball court is. Somebody, Brother Matt, how long is the basketball court? 60, 70 yards or 90 feet? So what is that, 30 yards plus 5 or 10 on each side? I'm backpedaling the whole way, and this guy is just swinging and swinging, and I'm ducking and... And there was something that spoke to me. I had already received the Holy Ghost. And there was something that spoke to me. He said, if you swing back at this boy, even if you whoop him today, he'll be back tomorrow. And then the next day, and the next day, no matter how many times you whoop him, he'll keep coming back. And the emotional... The experience of it left me in tears. I backpedaled all the way, hit the concrete wall with my back, hit my head on the wall trying to duck him. About that time, one of the coaches, "Hey, you boys, knock it off!" Like we was playing. I'm gonna tell you something. There wasn't no playing as far as I was concerned. It's about to get real bad. And it left me so emotionally, you know, charged. It brought tears to my eyes. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to... I'm thankful, though, for that still small voice that let me know. It said, look, you swing back and this isn't going to be over. You'll be back tomorrow with a bat or a knife or a pistol. That's the kind of mentality he had. And there's times, there's going to be a lot of times in your life where you don't know the answer. You don't know what's next. You don't know where to turn. You're left there with a moment of uncertainty. And that's when you stop and you say, Lord, I'm yours. I've always been yours. And I'll still be yours tomorrow, either in this life or the life to come. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. You put your faith in Him. I'm committed to serving Him, to living my life for Him. And I was thinking about this verse here in John 14. I was thinking about this verse. Yesterday, my wife and I and our children, we went to Fort Smith to a fellowship meeting that they had. I heard about it. By the way, and I picked up our DVD duplicator. Yay. And that the Church of Oklahoma City had been using for their meeting. And I also picked up the DVDs for the Oklahoma City meeting. So if you'd like a copy of those, there'll be $15 a set. If you would, pass me a note or shoot me a text or something so that I don't forget your name and I'll get you on the list. I do have a handful of them made, but they've already been pretty much spoken for. $15 a set for the Oklahoma City meeting. And I've heard a lot of good things about that meeting. I heard yesterday that maybe even somebody got healed after the meeting, almost instantaneous. From Crohn's disease, and if you know anything about that, you know it's a bad disease. Hadn't taken their medicine in over a month, so it's a pretty amazing testimony. So we went to Fort Smith yesterday and picked up our DVD duplicator and the DVDs, and I've made some copies today. If you've already told me, holler at me and I'll get you a copy. And then, of course, we got to be in the fellowship meeting that they had there, and that was their first fellowship meeting since Brother Sutmiller passed away, and there was a good representation. It was a nice meeting. Churches that were there and the men that spoke and sisters and songs that were sung was all, it was a good spirit. It was is profitable in my for me to be there, and I appreciated the Lord meeting us. And they were talking about, of course, there's a lot of honor given, you know, how it is. We give honor. I will say that's one thing we're not afraid to do, is we're not afraid to honor the men of the past. And oftentimes, you know, I'd say that we're not afraid. We're more than willing to honor the men of the present. And I respect that. And so there was a lot of honor shown to Brother Joe Sutmeller, and then also still a lot of honor shown to Brother Liniger. And if you know anything about, you know, that area, the Wilburton Church and Fort Smith, you know that Brother Liniger had a big part in all that. Major role, actually. Significant role in those churches. And so we were sitting there, we were in that meeting yesterday, and it was reminded, you know, they're talking about how that somebody says something, which, there's one thing I never got to meet Brother Tucker. I've met you men that met Brother Tucker. And so I'm sure that there were expressions that he had that he used on a regular basis. Now, Brother Thompson, if you stand by Brother Thompson when we're worshiping, you'll hear him say, "Glory, glory, 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 glory." Now, I don't know who was that, Brother Tucker? All right. And so it's funny, too, because I hear Brother Smith preach sometimes, and I'll hear him say things like Brother Liniger would have said them. And so they were talking yesterday about how that, you know, you can't help it. You can't help but be a reflection of where you came from. Fair, right? And so, and they were, you know, we're talking about different, you know, your lineage and churches that you grew up in, men that you worked under, and so forth. And it occurred to me, I read this, I'm not going to go back through Philippians 2, but I read that to you all last week, where it said that Jesus made of himself no reputation, Philippians 2 and 7, but he took upon him the form of a servant. But the scripture before that, he said, who being in Philippians 2, 6, he said, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I thought about that scripture, about how that he said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, you take my son, for example. You know, people say, well, you and your son, you can tell you and your son, you know, that's your son. I said, yeah, we've both been kicked by the same mule. And he'll do things, or he'll learn my ways. If he's working with me, he'll do, you know, certain things just like I would do them. That's okay. And he wouldn't think that he's taking away from me by doing that. By, you know, if he uses the expression that I use, or if he if he combs his hair the way I do, or if he ties his tie, you know, if he's doing something exactly the way I do it, he wouldn't think that he's robbing from me, you know, like taking something. Oh, that's mine. You know, I'm taking it from my dad. Well, Jesus didn't either. He wasn't robbing from his father when he was doing the things that his father wanted him to do. He told his disciples, he said, the words that I speak, they are not my own. They're my father's. Right? And so here we are in Little Rock, and we've had, you know, multiple changes in leadership here. And we don't think it a bit robbery. No one here. In fact, we all, if at times, will wax nostalgic. And when someone will quote Brother Tucker, or they'll quote an elderly saint that used to be here, or See, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I do remember Sister Kinsinger. Now, what would she do? Didn't she have a way of worship? Yeah. Really loud, right? I remember Sister Kinsinger. And so we wouldn't think it robbery to reflect upon the good things that we've learned from people that have gone, from our teachers. Do you follow what I'm saying? We don't think that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, we admire it. We love it. We admire and show honor to the people that led us to this place. And so I thought about that. I was thinking about these scriptures, and I thought about Jesus in the 14th chapter of John. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He said, "Ye believe in God." He said, "Believe also in me." And of course, you know, these are all scriptures about overcoming. We've used that. I recognize that. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye may know. Where and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas said unto him, he said, "Lord, know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Right? And Jesus said, "I am the truth, the life," and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, just think about that a minute. He just said that, in Philippians 2, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now he's saying, "No man cometh unto the Father by me." He said, "If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also, and henceforth ye know him and have seen him." So he's telling his disciples that the pathway to God is through me. We recognize that. I've got a song here. Maybe I'll sing that. I don't know if I've sang that song in a long time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can hear Jesus say, "And if you want to go, you must go in by him, for there's only one way. He is the door." But see, the thing about it is, what makes him the door? If he came here and made of himself no reputation, he didn't set himself up as being, you know, he came and made of himself no reputation. So if you take that at face value, then he didn't come here and say, "I am the way to God. All ye people must bow before me." You know, we would think of a Pharaoh doing something like that, right? We would think of, and that's what Hebrew boys, that's what they had. They experienced that. They were told, "You must bow before the Pharaoh," and they chose not to. Now, did he say, "I am the truth, the life, and the way"? Yes, he did say that. But it wasn't because he set himself up as this great, you know, man to be worshipped and honored. It wasn't like that, in my estimation. I'll put it like that, not to offend anyone. In my estimation, it wasn't like that. The reason he was the truth, the life, and the way is because he was doing exactly what God told him to do. All he was doing was shine. He was just an example. That's what made him the way. There hadn't been anybody else that had red blood. And I realize it's not red, but had red blood flowing through their veins that did what he did. There was no one else that provided the example like he provided. He said he could have just as easily turned around and said, "Hey, y'all, follow me. I know the way." That's what he was saying. He was saying, "Hey, y'all, I know the truth. I know the life. I know the way. Just follow me." We'll get there. He wasn't saying, hey, y'all, bow down before me, I'm the way. He was saying, hey, follow me. Come on, if you'll follow me, my Father's showing me the path. If you'll follow me, we'll get there. He told him, he said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. And then Philip said to him, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. And Jesus saith unto him, he said, Have I been so long with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, it's just like my son. If you were to meet my son, or if you were to meet me, and then come along and you meet my son, you say, oh, I can see that you two are related. You know, we got similar physical characteristics, but there's also, you know, mannerisms. There's also the way we enunciate our words. You know, Brother Michael, it's true. There, you know, one syllable words do have two syllables in certain circumstances here in Arkansas. And so if you met me and then along come my son, you wouldn't think nothing of it. Say, oh, you're Nathan Painter's boy. Somebody was telling me, I know what it was. That's the way it is nowadays. It's like, you go somewhere and it's, oh, you're Clara's dad. Or, you know, Brother Phil, oh, you're Elisha's dad. You know, so now we just introduce ourselves. Oh, well, I'm Lila's dad. You know, first names don't matter. Just as long as you know I'm her dad. Well, he told Philip, how have you followed me this long and not seen the Father? He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Do you catch what he's saying there? He's saying, he's not making a reputation of himself. He's not climbing up on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and proclaiming to everybody, I am the Son of God. He's not making that kind of statement. He's saying, look, I'm doing the will of the Father. Therefore, the Father is doing the work in me. Faith. That's faith. That's the essence of faith. The essence of faith there is setting aside all of your wants, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, all of your energy, setting all that aside to where you're channeled, you're focused, your heart is set on doing exactly what Jesus wants you to do. And anything beyond that's foolishness. And the Bible says that if it's done without faith, it's sin. He said, believe me. In 11, verse 11, he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. See, what he's saying, he's not saying, don't believe me. Believe what the Father is doing in me. You know, it makes it a lot easier. Somebody asked me, what if you make a mistake in church? Do you need to get rebaptized? I said, well, you know, if it's an answer to a clean conscience, maybe so. They said, well, what if you leave the church? Come back. Do you need to be rebaptized? I said, yes, you probably do. I said, it's an answer to a clean conscience. I said, but the truth of the matter is, what people are looking for, they're not looking so much. I mean, we are. We're looking for each of us to make wise decisions. It's not like you're going to get baptized tonight. You know, say if you got baptized tonight, it's not like you're not going to make a mistake tomorrow. You can't just get rebaptized every time you make a mistake. It doesn't work like that. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for the mistakes. We're looking for the progress. Right? We're looking for the progress in each other's lives. We're looking for the gain, the growth, the progression of our salvation. And so he told him, he said, when you see, he said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father, I believe that the Father is in you. And then I believe it even more when I see the Father's works in you. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, I know Brother Brett didn't tell that to boost up Sister Joanne. But I'm going to tell you something. That was meaningful to me. When a woman whose husband is laying over here in a hospital bed, potentially at one time at death's door, is taking flowers or a balloon to somebody else, a total stranger, that's an expression of the love of God. That's honorable. That was really meaningful to me. I believe in God. I believe in the works that people do that honor God. He said, verily I say unto you that, let's see, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he do also. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, here, this scripture has been abused and abused and abused and mistreated. You know, in the name of Jesus, I claim a healing. In the name of Jesus, I claim $1,000. In the name of Jesus, I claim a new car. He's not talking about that. He said, he's essentially saying, whatsoever you ask in the plan of God, whatsoever you ask in the that fits within the plan of God, then you're asking it in His name. And you want to know something? If it gets done, it won't be because you did it. It won't be because some great preacher did it. It won't be because some great person did it. It'll be because God in heaven said, yes, that's exactly what I wanted. If it gets done, it'll be because God said, that's exactly what I was hoping for. That's exactly what I need to fulfill my plan. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the whole world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. How's that happen? Well, we're working on something here. We're working on building this church here in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're working on making this a lighthouse. And you all know with experience, not just by word of mouth, but your own experience, you know that the Lord has been in this building, in this congregation. And you know that with your own experiences, that the power of God has been here to heal, to bring deliverance from sin, from addiction. You know with your experiences that God can affect a stranger, be driving or walking past this church and feel the Spirit of God and feel compelled to come in. You know with your own experiences that you can be in such a troubled state of mind that you don't know where or how, or that it just seems like your situation is totally impossible. And to find yourself in this house, in this congregation, And to receive a word of revelation, to receive a testimony, to receive an answer from God through a song or through an interpretation of tongues, you know that God has worked here within these four walls. You know that. You know from your experiences that God has been in here. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, He said, the Father will be in me and I in you. All he's talking about there, in my estimation, is that the will of God will work. He could have said, the will of God will work in me and the will of God will work in you. You know, he's saying the same thing today. There's another scripture. Let me finish this John 14 here. He said, in the John 14, 23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. What do they say about flattery or imitation? Imitation's the greatest form of flattery, the sincerest form of flattery. Think about it. How many times have you caught your children imitating what you do? Right? Now, come on. Something wells up inside. You know, the old P word comes out a little bit. Your child starts imitating what you're doing, and you get a little thankful. Right? Well, for the most part, because what you're doing is good. You know, I don't, you know, whether it's working around, you know, I put my boy on a task. I told my wife, I said, you tell him I want this done before I get home. And I got home that day and she said, you should have seen that boy. I said, what do you mean? I forgot about it. Well, I mean, I knew I needed it done. And I knew it got done, but I didn't think about how it was going to get done. And she said, yeah, you should have seen him. Said he finished his school up and said after lunch he went and changed clothes. She said, what are you doing? He said, I've got work to do. She said that boy went and changed clothes and he was not to be deterred. He had a job to do. She said, you should have seen that boy. He did it just like you would do it. Right? That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. He'll keep my actions. If a man love me, he'll do it just like I would do it. See, that's what trips me up. And I know that saying, what would Jesus do? I know that's been, you know, commercialized and mistreated. But that's what treats me up, is because the way he would do it is not the way I'd do it. You know, it hurts. Biting your tongue. Covering your mouth. It's not, there's no satisfaction in sometimes in doing it the Christian way. Isn't that right? He said of him, if you love me, you'll keep my words. You'll do it just like I would do it. He said to my Father, and I will come unto him and make our abode. You know why? Because they're comfortable. You're going to do it just like they would do it. He said these things. He said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It's God's words. It's God's plan. It's God's vision. It's God's method. It's his operation. The reason Jesus came to this earth and didn't make a reputation of himself is because he was making a reputation for God. He was here doing exactly what God wanted done. And he's given us the same charge to do it exactly the way he would. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." He said, "But the Comforter," and this is why the Holy Ghost is so important. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," like he did, Jesus could have said, "whom the Father gave to me, he will give you also, and he'll teach you all things," just like he did me, "and he'll bring to remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you." He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." He could have said, "If you'll do this, if you'll do it just like I'm telling you, just like I've done it, you'll, even the death of the cross won't matter." Even the suffering of the cross won't matter. He said, "The peace that I give, that I leave with you, it'll make all the difference." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." I just read a scripture to you in Philippians 2, where it said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Didn't I? Now, and here he said that my Father is greater than I. The way that he was equal is, if you perhaps substitute that word equal with accord. He didn't think, it didn't bother God for Jesus to take up his cause. Jesus took up God's cause. He took up God's message. He took up God's plan of salvation for humanity. He took that plan of salvation and he made it his own. He said it wasn't robbery for him to take what God was working on and make it his own. It's not robbery for us to get behind Brother Smith and work on the projects that he's working on, to support the ministries. He doesn't take that as robbery. He takes that as support. Just like Jesus doesn't take it as robbery when Brother Smith starts working on God's people, as though he's taking some place or some honor away from him. He's not. Jesus, the ministry also, they don't take that as robbery. They take that as support. We're all working on this together. Brother Daniels, I'm confident of this, that you don't take it as robbery if I throw in and work with you. I may lean on the pulpit like Dub does. I've done it, Brother Daniels. I caught myself doing that. I hope you don't mind. I'm not trying to rob you from it. You don't take it as robbery when your child does something just like you do when they're working. I mean, if your child came at home, if y'all got home from church tonight, all you children listen to me, y'all got home from church tonight and they just went right in the kitchen and made sure all the dishes were washed up, all the clothes were picked up, well, you wouldn't think that was robbery. You'd think that is support. Right? Right. Yeah, go for it. Knock yourself out. But you know that all those things have to be done in a household. Isn't that right? All that's got to be done in a household, just like in the church. God doesn't think it robbery for you to take time to help somebody, because it's got to be done. He's counting on us to help him help others. I like that prayer. Lord, help me to help you to help others today. He said, "I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." He wasn't working on the prince of this world's project. He was working on God's project. He said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. What a charge. What a determination he had. He said, I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. It seems like a mystery. It seems like it's a mystery to serve God. It seems like pleasing God can become a mystery sometimes. Like it's almost impossible because of so many things that happen to us. So many, you know, decisions in our lives. So many things that happen amongst our families or our friends, or so many things that happen on our jobs or in the community or, you know, in world affairs. There seems like there's so many things that bring confusion and frustration and anxiety and depression. There's so many, it's like we're being attacked on every side. And it just seems like pleasing God is like the hardest thing to do. Like we don't even know how to do it sometimes. But we do. He told them, he told his disciples there in John 14, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Y'all remember Brother Leniger going through that with us? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. 1 Corinthians 13. It's a jawbreaker. That's what Brother Lane used to say to me. He said, Brother Lane, that's a jawbreaker. I don't know what he meant by that. Other than the fact that it's just hard to swallow. It's hard to chew. He used to tell me, Brother Phil, how old's Bridget? 3.5 months. So when will she start taking strained carrots and peas and all that good stuff? No, you don't know the answer, do you? All right. Whatever Sister Chelsea says. You're absolutely right, dear. We know how this works. Brother Lane was telling me, of course, he grew up. And y'all probably don't remember him. Some of you may. But he was a great help for me. He told me, he said, Brother Nathan, he said, when I had children, he said, we didn't have peas and carrots. What is it? Gerber brand baby food. It's been a long time, so I've had to deal with that, thankfully. He said, baby food for us, y'all ready for this? They'd put it in their mouth and they'd chew it up. That's right. And then they'd take it out of their mouth. And they'd give it to that little baby. Oh, it's so sweet. That's the way life was. Yeah, that's right. It's the way life was. You know, the truth of the matter is, in some parts of this world, that's the way life still is. That's life. That's just life. That's what people do. People get by. People pay their bills. People don't pay their bills. People work. People don't work. People get sick. People don't get sick. People live. People die. That goes on. It's a cycle. It just keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going until God says that's enough. Time's up. What I'm talking about, though, is when somebody stops that cycle that they're in. What's a rut? A grave with both ends kicked out? When you get out of that rut that you're in and you stop focusing on all the things that matter just to you, and as the writer said, when you set your affections on things above, where moth can't enter in, where rust can't go in and corrupt, when you set your affections on what God's wanting, that's when it really gets interesting. That's when you start working on eternal salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I might sing that song, Sister Cindy. There's only one door. The reason Jesus is the door is because He was our example. He's the one who made the example for us. And that's why we're following. That's what makes Him the door. If you want to get into heaven, you got to go through the door. If you want to get into heaven, you got to follow the example. Probably the key of C. Well, there's only one door, one door to heaven. For Jesus fixed it that way. The rich and the poor will all go in the same door. For Jesus fixed it that way. Oh, I am the way, the truth and the life. I hear Jesus say, so if you want to go, you must go in by Him, because there's no other way. Straight is the gate, and narrow the pathway, and few shall travel this way. But this road, it leads home, and you are welcome to come. He will guide in every step that you take. Oh, I am the way, the truth and the life. I hear Jesus say, so if you want to go, you have to go in by Him, because there's no other way. Oh, I am the way, the truth and the life. I hear Jesus say, so if you want to go, you have to go in by Him, because there's no other way. There's only one door, oh, one door to heaven, for Jesus fixed it that way. The rich and the poor will all go in the same door. For Jesus fixed it that way. Oh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I hear Jesus say, so if you want to go, you have to go in by Him, because there's no other way. Oh, I go. You have to go in by Him, because there's no other way. Oh, straight is the gate, and narrow the pathway, and few shall travel this way. Oh, this road, it leads home, and you are welcome to come. He will guide every step that you take. Oh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I heard Jesus say, so if you want to go, you have to go in by Him. Just follow Him. There's no other way. Oh, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the love, and the knowledge, and the joy, and the happiness. Oh, yes, He is all those things. Praise God. And if you want to go, hallelujah, if you want all those things, follow His example. Follow His leadership. Become His child. Make Him your father. Hallelujah. He's the best way, the only way. Hallelujah. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I hear Jesus say, example we have before us. Praise God. When in doubt, look to the Lord. Put your faith in Him. Ask Him, Lord, direct my steps. Guide my steps. Like Brother Daniel quoted tonight. Brother Daniel's quoted, the steps of a righteous man, a good man, are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to remind you that we are planning a trip to Mount Carmel. We are taking the church van. Looks like cost per young person or adult is going to be $75 a piece. We do plan to leave on December the 26th, sometime around noonish, and make it to Paducah for service that night. And we'll be, hopefully, we'll be putting homes there for the night, and then we'll go on into Mount Carmel the next day, which is Saturday, for the meeting, Saturday night, Sunday night, and then Monday, and come home after the service is over on Monday. Next Sunday we have service and potluck. I wasn't going to guess. I'm not adding to the confusion, but I will put it on Facebook. And then we will not have evening service here next Sunday night, but the youth will be practicing, and those that are helping the youth in that play and endeavor will be practicing next Sunday night. So there will not be evening service here next Sunday night, but there will be Bible study, regular service, and potluck. Then the following Sunday we will have our play at some point to be determined, a regular Bible study and service as it's scheduled, with the play being worked in there at some point, and then we'll have dinner day. And then we will not have evening service. But we will be cleaning afterwards. Exactly right. So we've got December is a full month. Then we've got a watch night service here on the 31st. I'm not sure about the particulars on when it'll start. And then we're also, it may come as a surprise, some of y'all, we're also looking at having a lock-in here after service, after the watch night service for the youth, and be here all night long. So we'll come in for service, watch night service, and then we'll stay on in through the night, eating and playing games and staying up all night. So I know. See, that's why I get invited, Brother Tally. It's still for the young people.
You can have.
I don't know if I can handle it or not. Anyway, isn't it good? Isn't it nice to be in a church that, you know, is active and interested in our happiness and joy and you know, peace of mind? And I'm not sure about Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea's peace of mind. Maybe December 22nd, you know, he might have a little more, I'm glad it's over, moment. But praise God. Continue to pray for those that are out, those that are sick. If you think about it, call them, text them. Send them messages. We have prayer service here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and regular service at 7:30. Let's all just raise our hands, give the Lord a praise, ask Him to be with us. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your example, Lord. Let us set our eyes on you. Let us make you our hope, our refuge. Let your words become our words, oh God. Let your vision become our vision. Jesus, let our life become your life. Hallelujah. That when they see us, they see the Father. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we know you're our example. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have a good week, everyone. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Daniels. Brother Daniels.